Radio from the landscapes to the dreamscapes. It's KNTS, Kearsarge North Transmission Service.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Jacques Cocteau, and on this edition of the Numbers Stations Conundrum, we are going to listen to some new number stations logged here at the listening post in our newly retrovated KNTS studios and radio research station. I logged these in the international spectrum portion of the pirate radio band. Let's have a listen to these unique number stations. It would appear these clandestine spy stations are using aesthetic art music as a way to try and mask their activity. In the next example, we're going to hear synthesized human voice as a way to try and disguise who is behind these secret communiques.
1,926,000, Later, the knights will catch up. 1,926,346 to 1,926,345. The knights will catch up.
The remainder of this segment will be spent listening to a snippet from pirate station KOTE and a German shortwave electronic noise pirate who goes by the name of Heinbach. Wishing everyone who is on the waves with us this evening much radio love, happy DX, and happy New Year.
Permitting the same owner to own more than two TV stations in markets like San Francisco.
It was great for Wall Street, but it was terrible for Main Street.
That was unheard of before. It is now permissible to begin having same ownership for more than one station.
And really what's not discussed here, I mean, we can talk about reform, we talk about changing regulations and regulatory structure, but what in essence here is the heart of the problem. That heart of the problem is the fact the airwaves are a public trust, they are the public's property, and like so many other federal trusteeship relationships, this one has gone totally into corporate hands.
And so without any provision that those two stations have to broadcast a different programming. In the process, the access of local groups to their own broadcast stations has almost disappeared from the commercial stations. It's remained one of the biggest secrets on commercial broadcasting, and let me repeat it over and over, the public owns the airwaves.
As many of our federal lands, say under the guardianship of the Forest Service, are allowed to be strip mined and clear cut, the same thing is happening on our airwaves.
By law, even under the 1996 Act, you and I as citizens own those frequencies.
And I'm not really satisfied with this, you know, some mere rearranging of the deck chairs. What I think needs to happen is that the airwaves have to go back to being primarily a vehicle for the public, for public discourse.
And they're supposed to be issued in the public interest.
For every high school, for every grade school, every senior center, for every housing project, whatever, to have its own small radio station. This would be, in my opinion, the real bedrock of a truly diverse, pluralistic, democratic society.
The FCC and the Congress have forgotten about public interest requirements.
This high degree of interaction.
And in the process. So the broadcast, and especially all the mass media in the last 20 years, has more and more been turned over to the very large corporations.
I think the irony of the 1996 Telecommunications Act is that it was delivered in the rhetoric of marketplace, we can free up things for competition and the like, and at the same time, by lifting the limits on ownership and creating this massive drive towards consolidation, the real reflection of marketplace forces is in the people like Mr. Doniger, who all over the country have found that the centralization of radio ownership and management in a few companies located in distant cities has taken radio, the most local of all electronic media, and removed radio from the roots in their communities, and the perceived shortcomings, the failures to serve those kinds of particular local needs, has led to people like Mr. Dunifer saying they're just not meeting my needs at all anymore, and feeling the need and the desire, the marketplace drive, if you will, to go put up their own antenna and start transmitting.
Do this when you are announcing written material at any time of the day. For 5 minutes every day, practice whispering in such a way that you can be heard 20 feet away. Once again, you will find that you must exaggerate your mouth movements and form the words in the front of your mouth in order to be heard that far while whispering. Finally, as often as you can, listen to good network announcers and imitate after them brief phrases and sentences that they are announcing, trying hard to match their pronunciation and tone of voice. There is a lot of material in this lesson, but don't let it overwhelm you. Just take it one day at a time, and in less time than you may believe, you will gain a surprising command of your voice and be well on the road to being a trained, professional announcer. By the end of your first month, you will be ready to step up to the more advanced techniques in your second lesson without any trouble whatsoever. Now let us get into your practice work. The first subject we will cover in this lesson is the problem of identifying your radio station on the air. FCC regulations call for every broadcast station, radio or TV, to identify itself by call letter and by the city in which the station is located.
I did that.
The regulations require that this identification be done after every program that lasts 1/2 hour or less, or at the end of programs which are continuous.
That's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. I think the FCC mandate is you have to do it on the hour, and that's the only time you have to do it, and that's the only time I'm going to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
close your eyes. Listen to the signals between the stations. It's KNTS, Kearsarge North Transmission Service.
One Get Paid presents a mix for KNTS.
I had a pleasant lunch with the gardening ladies yesterday.
Oh, very good.
I mean, it is rather strange, because, I mean, I am the token male now. There was one other man who came to help put the gazebo up, and then he disappeared. He's a rather strange computer geek, so he doesn't take part in these things.
Oh, well, but he's a good helper.
Well, yeah, well, yes, and he provided the gazebo, so that was all right.
Well, that's absolutely fine, yeah. Well, I mean, what's it like being a token male?
It's a bit strange, because, the conversation is very different when it's all that one of you is female, you see what I mean?
Yes. I'm not interested in amateur radio, then.
Thank you. 5 for you as well. 5 and 5 for you as well. 73, God bless. Happy New Year to you and your family. Have a good day, my friend. Thank you, thank you. You are my first Saudi Arabia. You are my only African on contact. Thank you.
November 6th, Yankee Yankee Oscar. I thank you also. It was not an easy call, but I'm glad that we made it. I wish you a best 73, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. November 6th, Yankee Yankee Oscar, Hotel Zulu 1, Hotel Zulu. Thank you.
this letter from a listener who occasionally comes to New York, but the return address is Leeds, England. And I'd like to read this letter. Dear Cowboy Joe, I'm not actually writing from England because I'm here in New York on holiday. Believe it or not, I often listen to your show in England because a friend of mine tapes your show and sends it over to me. You have quite a few fans in Leeds, England. Friends of mine who gather around the hi-fi like gathering around the campfire to listen. We are not actually cowboys, but we really like the music you play. Music that is very hard to get in England. The real cowboys go ranching in the country and drive covered wagons. It's really great. I'd like to dedicate the remainder of the program to all of you fans of Cowboy Jazz Radio Ranch who listen in Leeds, England.
You've been listening to KNTS, broadcasting from a secret location somewhere along the 45th parallel. Email us at imaginarystations@gmail.com and let us know where you're listening from. Happy 2023, everyone. Thanks for listening. You're listening to KNTS, knitting sounds together on the shortwaves.
It was William Blake that first said, "If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite." Of course, it was Aldous Huxley who opened a whole new light on this phrase with a little help from Dr. Albert Hofmann and his discovery in Basel, Switzerland.